Just before we move on, I just want to make one small point about the idea of being sober or being vigilant and watchful and, you know, thinking things through. Tim just gave us the illustration and the importance of understanding that there is a real enemy at work, but that doesn't mean we're to be paranoid.
Amen.
You know, we can get into this condition of being paranoid. Oh, you know, the devil's out to get me, or, you know, this is about to trip me up, and I don't do anything, and I end up being static and not doing anything. The idea of arming our minds and the idea of clear thinking is, again, always channeled with understanding what the Word of God teaches me about what God has done in grace. Because then, as I'm immersed in that, I realize I don't have to be afraid or paranoid. The whole book of Peter is written to people who are being beat up, chewed out, slapped, thrown in prison. All kinds of horrible things were happening to them. You think they were paranoid? No. He was writing to them to say, this is good. This is according to the will of God. That means you're doing the right thing. You're being the right thing because you're in the stark contrast to this world. And so the next one says it's hope. It gives us a sense of, I know what the end story is. I know what the end game is. And so I'm not afraid. I think clearly. I'm constantly renewing my mind, being sanctified by the word of truth. And then it says, and I have a hope that even if things get really, really bad for me, I'm still okay because I see the end.
Amen. Any other thoughts on the hope? Resting. How do we rest in the hope? How do we rest in that hope that Mark just brought us to?
I was just going to add the same question because it's a very passive idea. Rest your hope on the grace that is going to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I was going to just ask the same question, but I wonder if there could be some illustrations, some people that we could find in the scriptures who were resting in hope or resting their hope on, you know, what God's promises were to them, or some scriptures that would address that.
One example that immediately comes to mind, and I just love this one. This is in Acts 24, I think it is. Paul and his companions were traveling in a boat and they hit a storm and there was a lot of anxiety and a lot of angst. And then Paul wakes up the next morning and says, okay, guys, let's sit down. Let's have a meal. Everything's cool. No loss of life. Everything is settled. Here you go, in the midst of a storm, everything was going crazy. And Paul could say, okay, guys, let's sit down. Let's eat. Let's enjoy this present because the reality is, an angel of God stood by me last night and assured me no loss of life. That's resting. You know, everybody was up in arms. It was a horrible situation to be in. But there he was, confident and resting because of the promises of God.
Same thought. In my version, it says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's saying focus the hope on the grace. You see that Satan has constitutional superiority over us. In other words, Satan is an angel. We are just human beings. So we cannot fight with an angel on our own. So God's word teaches us that we need to rely on the grace. And somebody said the expansion of grace is like God's riches at Christ's expense. Mm-hmm. Think of that. God's riches at Christ's expense. So God has given us these riches, these blessings. And one of that is God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Chapter 27 of Acts, sorry.
Accept the hope.
Yeah. 24. None of us got it. You know, I was thinking of another example. I remember in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was asleep in the prison. It's interesting to me that he would be asleep, and he was so sound asleep that the angel stood over him. So sound asleep that the angel had to strike him and say, get up. And why was he asleep? He was asleep because he was resting in the words of the Lord Jesus. At the end of John 21, the Lord Jesus said, when you're old, you're not going to go where you want to go. when you're old, someone else is going to lead you. So Peter rested in the fact that he wasn't old yet. He rested in the words of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's a marvelous thing. So Peter just laid down, took a good nap, and said, I'm resting in the Lord. He fixed his mind on the words of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage us in Matthew chapter 11. We all know those verses. In chapter 11, verse 28. But what's verse 27? We know 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And he talks about taking his yoke upon him. His burden is light. What's verse 27? He says, I have come to declare the Father unto you. Now, if we are enjoying this relationship with the Father and resting and enjoying that day by day, resting in that relationship, coming to the Lord Jesus, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and when we cast our care upon him, knowing that he cares for us, then we're not going to worry about the enemy. As Mark said, we don't have to be paranoid. And just to add one more verse to what we've been saying, James says this, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So enjoy the relationship. The way we rest is when we're anxious and we're fretful and we're fearful. You know what fear is? I think I said this last year. Fear is faithless energy and retreat. Fear. You can't make progress in your Christian life if you're fearful. But if you're resting, and it comes back to that idea of obedience and faith, Peter took the Lord Jesus at his word and he rested. Paul took the angel of the Lord at his word and rested in the words that were given to him. So I just want to encourage us, develop the relationship with the Father, enjoy that relationship, comes through the ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus. Greater appreciation of him is greater appreciation of the Father, and then rest on his word.